Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
If you were going into a completely crowded situation where people are essentially falling all over each other, then you wear a mask. But any other time, if you're vaccinated and you're outside, put aside your mask. You don't have to wear it.
You don't have to wear it, Dr. Fauci says. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Very much so appreciate that. Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. That news from yesterday still causing a lot of people to have a lot of mixed emotion and mixed reactions. We're going to talk about that throughout the course of the show today, along with a bunch of other things. We've got Gabe Pfeiffer coming in the studio, as usual, on Friday, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Tony Colombo joining us at 12:40, and Kevin Wheeler with sports at 12:25. I want to go through a couple of sound bites here because I find this to be really interesting. Just in the wake of the news yesterday, the political fallout of sorts that has taken place just in the last 24 hours for all the people involved. Here's Dr. Sapphire on Fox News. Listen to her.
President Biden, in my opinion, put out a dangerous tweet yesterday. He said, if you get vaccinated, take off your mask.
If you get vaccinated, take off your mask. And then, of course, he doesn't himself do that. And when you see the fact that he has over and over and over again, he has come out and talked about masks. He has come out and he has discussed the CDC guidelines on masks and worked very hard to still present himself wearing said mask. It can kind of create a little bit of a confusing situation. Here's the rest of that clip there.
To keep wearing a mask until you do. That is just not true. He completely ignored those unvaccinated, the children, those who have contraindications to vaccination. And what about the millions who have recovered with natural immunity? What about the reliable data that shows natural immunity from infection provides just as much protection as the vaccine? They continue to ignore that, and that is extremely irresponsible.
So she's calling out the medicine, and she's a doctor, calling out the people who are not included in what we continue to hear from the Biden administration and also from the CDC, from Dr. Fauci. If you have been vaccinated, that's the only thing that counts here, right? That doesn't make any sense. That's not science. Here's more from Dr. Fauci. Listen to him talking, continuing
about
vaccinated people.
We want virtually everybody to get vaccinated. What we're doing now with the relaxation of the restrictions on people who are vaccinated is trying to get back to a degree of normality, which people who get vaccinated deserve to have that. That's been one of the things that's been the concern, saying, if I get vaccinated, what difference is it going to make? My life hasn't really changed that much. Well, now your life is going to change that much. For people who are not vaccinated, this might be an incentive for them to get vaccinated.
So you have to incentivize us like we're in a, you know, get your 10th taco free kind of situation here for people to go get something done medicinally to their bodies. The conversation, not even worrying about what's going on between them and their doctor. Is there a reason they're not being vaccinated? Does it mean anything at all to have had the virus and to have the natural immunity to coronavirus that your body, I mean, if you've had it and you've overcome it, your body is going to be the best combat against this in the future. None of this is factored in. Why the push so ridiculously hard for vaccinated people to be the priority here? It just doesn't make scientific sense, does it? Well, I was thinking about this earlier this morning, and especially with the idea of the president of the United States wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. A lot of people are focusing in right now, and I've done this as well on this show, on how President Biden, initially when he came out and they suggested that masks outdoors may not be as necessary in certain circumstances, President Biden wore a mask to make that announcement while he was outdoors. That makes zero sense whatsoever. But when you look at the history behind how the media has reacted to the president and how the president should be listening to CDC guidelines, because CDC guidelines are everything. Remember this?
Mask, and why are you opposed to wearing one yourself?
Well, I just don't want to wear one myself. It's a recommendation. They recommend it. I'm feeling good. I just don't want to be doing, I don't know, somehow sitting in the Oval Office behind that beautiful Resolute desk, the great Resolute desk. I think wearing a face mask as I greet presidents, prime ministers, dictators, kings, queens, I don't know, somehow I don't see it for myself. I just don't.
The CDC guidance coming out about these masks, he says he's not going to follow those. He said he thought it would be odd if he was greeting other world leaders while wearing a mask, though, of course, right now we don't know of any planned meetings between the president and other world leaders. And he insisted that this was just guidance from the CDC, voluntary, the president said multiple times. Though, of course, Wolf, we should note even the guidelines the president put out about social distancing are just voluntary, not something that they believed could be enforced. But the president himself says other people can do that if they want, but he himself is not going to be following those guidelines about covering your face when you're in public. Of course, the context for that, Wolf, is we did find out today that people who are around the president are now going to be getting those quick rapid-fire tests for coronavirus, the ones where you find out within 15 minutes whether or not you have it. So the president will have that layer of protection, but he says he's not going to be covering his face like the CDC is recommending that the rest of the nation should.
Yeah, they're recommending the rest of the nation does, but the president of the United States says he's not going to do it, not necessarily setting an example for the rest of the nation. Caitlin, stand by. I want to bring in Gloria Borgia, who was listening very carefully to all of this. What jumped out at you, Gloria?
Well, I want to agree with Caitlin that there was a stunning lack of clarity on a lot of fronts coming from the president of the United States here. If you talk about the face coverings, it was sort of maybe do as I say, but not as I do, because while he sort of suggested people ought to do it, indicating that we've just maybe recently discovered that you can spread the virus even if you are asymptomatic. And we know, Wolf, you've been talking about it for, what, almost a month now, that you can spread it if you are asymptomatic. People have known that. And suddenly he's saying, well, we just learned this, so this is what we're recommending. But by the way, I'm not going to do it.
Gloria Borgia there talking with CNN. I mean, that report could be about what is taking place right today, just with the different details from the CDC. That was April 3rd of 2020. So that was over a year ago. The CDC comes out with guidelines, and with the guidelines, President Trump said he said they were guidance and voluntary. That was the CNN report on that. Can you see right now the stark difference in the way this is the difference between conservatives and progressives right now? And the difference is we have an agreeable problem that needs to be solved. We have a pandemic. It's real. It's out there. It has taken lives. It has affected all of us for over a year now. There's no denying that it's real. We agree on that. And if there are people on the fringe who think that it's going to be the end of humanity or think that it's actually nothing that has ever even existed, again, I remind you, those people who are on the fringe. We can agree that there is a problem here that needs to be addressed. But in the midst of it, the solution when the Trump administration is at the podium is that here are some guidelines from the CDC. Here are some things that they're suggesting you're doing, and they are guidance. They are voluntary to participate in. However, yesterday, after this announcement was made by the CDC, President Biden said the rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours. There's only one sentence in that tweet that is correct, and that is that the choice is yours, and it has always been yours. The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. Why do you hate science, President Biden? Why are you ignoring the science behind what we have learned over the course of this past year about what causes people to have an aversion or an immunity to coronavirus? We continue to talk about the many people who have contracted this virus over the past year, the 100 million people who have had this. We talk about the absolute low transmission between children. Why does that not matter? And why is the only thing that is being discussed by this administration vaccinated people? Why is that the only get out of jail free card where the government has been the ones who have put you in jail? The entire solution behind this administration's effort to push back on coronavirus has been to lock everything down and then slowly leak back to you freedom here, a liberty there. And you're supposed to say thank you. You're supposed to feel good about that. It's so frustrating to listen to Wolf and Gloria here on CNN saying that, you know, Wolf Blitzer said there, he's not necessarily setting an example. The angry frustration that so many people in the progressive agenda-driven media have had over President Trump. Why won't he just wear a mask? Why won't he do it? Why won't he set an example? Why won't the president go out there and put a mask on his face? It's what the CDC says. It's what the science says. Why won't he do it? Shouldn't he be leading the country? Why hasn't President Biden been doing it? I mean, I could kind of see their point if the CDC has good science behind saying you need to wear a mask and they want Trump to do it. I could understand frustration that, but you have to have the same frustration when the CDC says take the mask off. You have to, unless you're not news, unless you're not interested in actual science getting to the little people like you and me so that we can know what we need to do. Because at this point, a year down from this entire process, guess what? It's hard to trust anything you say, because everything that has come out of the CDC has been saturated in politics. It's been saturated in trying to ensure that the American people are manipulatable and that people are constantly questioning themselves, and it instills a great amount of fear. And that is not how we're going to overcome this virus. We've done a good job as a country. We've done a good job in a country that has 50 different states handling this 50 different ways. We have a test kitchen of 50 different experiments on how to handle this situation. And if you look at the science, there is a better way to do this than other people have. And you can look at the states by state by state and see where those good ideas are coming from. I'm sick and tired of the party of science denying science and then shouting at Republicans for being science deniers. That is the circle that we are in, and it repeats itself, and it goes round and it goes round, and you are dizzy from it. It doesn't make sense to you, but that's because it's a lie. I don't care if you still wear a mask. I don't care if you get vaccinated. I think you should do what you do. If you feel like wearing a mask makes you feel more comfortable, wear a mask. I don't care. I'm not going to accost you for wearing a mask. Just like if I'm in a position where I'm not wearing a mask, I don't want to be accosted for not wearing a mask. If you want to get the vaccine, I want you to get the vaccine. I want you to feel good about getting the vaccine. If you don't, same. But let's not pretend that the science-backed industry here has been straight-laced with science and that the people covering this haven't been covering it strictly for political purpose. That leaves us all here with a president who tweeted yesterday that the rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. President Biden, rulers rule. You work for us. And it is strictly that simple. The choice was ours in November. It will be ours again in November. You don't rule us. You can guide us, but you do not rule us. Let's take a quick break. Kevin Wheeler with Camwick Sports is going to be with us when we come back, and Tony Colombo to wrap up the hour. Back in just a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
It was about 5 seconds ago that I realized this was a remix that I had a long time ago picked. This is from the EDM collection.
It is.
The Katie, turn this up. This is not how the song goes here. Although I don't have a problem with it. Katie, you need to show us how you dance to this.
Oh, no. No, no.
Do they play this kind of EDM at the EDM raves that you go to?
Yeah. Oh,
that,
yeah.
I mean, like you could get Rickrolled in an EDM rally.
Oh, totally. And it's oftentimes much heavier than this, but this is definitely played.
But you could get something like that in there.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's so fun.
So probably, what was it, maybe a year ago that you were supposed to be? Was it May or was it the end of April?
It was March.
It was supposed to be in March.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Katie's got big plans to go to New Orleans and go to an EDM rave. Is it a rave? Am I just making fun of it, calling it a rave?
No, that's the concept. Yeah, you can.
So I got text from people after going, what's EDM? So let's revisit this experience here. You were supposed, coronavirus is creeping up on us. I traveled out of the state in January and I was like, should I wear a mask on the plane? And you guys are like, no, don't wear a mask, don't be like that. And I was like, okay, I was kind of considering it, but maybe not. That was the end of January. And come March, everything was shut down. Katie was waiting with excitement.
Oh, I was so excited. I was so jazzed. I'm like, this is going to be my first festival, is usually what people say, but rave is also fine too. But it was going to be my first festival that I was going to go to that was in a different state with a couple of my friends who've been to many, many festivals. And I love that music. It's not all of the time, but I do love it. And it's super fun. So we got our outfits picked up. We bought the tickets. We got the ride situation squared away. Got where we were going to stay. Everything was set into place. And we were excited about it. And then, sure enough, weeks went by. And we were determining, okay, should we still go? Should we not go? The festival isn't canceled yet. By the end of February, the festival still was not canceled. It wasn't until like the second week of March. So I think a week and a half before Annie and Ryan, before you guys left the building and started working from home, that's finally when the festival, Buku is the name, pulled the plug and said, okay, I guess we really can't have this because coronavirus seems really serious.
I remember it like made the news.
Yes.
Like it was a cross section of, we were going to lose Katie for just a wee bit of time while she went down to New Orleans and did this thing. And then we got to report on it being closed because of coronavirus.
Yes, it was. I mean, and everybody was disappointed. Everybody was like, how are we going to get our money back? Because the refund situation was really sketchy too.
That was like that for venues everywhere, though.
Yes.
People had to figure out, what are we going to do? Because that money, when you pay that money, it goes to a bunch of different places. You guys had that experience too.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it was a pretty big ticket to purchase, so we were like, oh my gosh. Luckily enough, like I said, we did plan on staying in an Airbnb. They were totally understandable and they didn't want people coming to stay at their place because of COVID and everything. But I'm telling you what, I'll never forget that. And to this day, my friends that I was supposed to travel with for this festival, they're like, should we go? Should are we going to go back in 2021 and see what we can do? I mean, now that everybody's vaccinated, maybe I am ready for it, but it just kind of left a sour taste in my mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you still feel like you missed it and you want to go back.
Is it
the COVID thing, or do you feel like you've grown some in a year?
Definitely grown some in a year.
And are you the only suburban late 20-something who also raves? You're not. I
promise you. I'm not. With this group of people that I was supposed to go with, I am. I've definitely grown in the last year, but I think this trip in particular just leaves a sour taste in my mouth to be like, maybe I don't want to go back to Buku. Maybe I'll go somewhere else and see if that's a better experience.
What are some other things that you can think of over the course of the last year that, the idea of having something in the palm of your hand and having it snatched away from you can leave that sour taste in your mouth, where you were excited, you'd planned something, you lost something. It wasn't like, oh, I was really hoping to be able to take a vacation in the fall, but we never even planned it. Like the things that drop, that when reality first set in, what are those things that you lost? Because I'm going to tell you right now, when I cleared my schedule on my calendar and I had 2, maybe 3 months, I mean, the end of March, April, and most of May, if not all of May, I had nothing on my calendar. I could show you my calendar right now and it looks like it's got multiple personalities. It's intense. Mm-hmm. And it was worse this time last year. I have had many moments this year where I was like, gosh, you remember when we weren't allowed to leave the house? Can somebody confine me to my house? That would be fantastic right now. Like just a week of house confinement where we sit around and play in the front yard and bake and watch Marvel movies for hours upon end. So I'm almost having, and of course, being a little more introverted than at least, of course, Katie, easier for me to say, but what are some other things you guys can think of, like contrast between now and last year, where it's like, gosh, that was snatched right out of my hand and I can't wait to do this again? Or maybe you've grown out of a year of not being able to participate in things and maybe kind of changed in that capacity.
It's getting back to normal. But just the restaurant experience in general, it's not the same. And it's little things. It's not everything. I mean, when we get back to full capacity, I have a feeling it'll feel more like normal. But everybody's so cautious about being close to each other. Even when you're waiting for a table in a restaurant, there's a lot of weird social stuff that I think it's going to take a while, that even if the laws go back to normal and the restrictions are lifted, people's minds are going to take a while to get back to that spot.
That's probably very regional too, because there are a lot of places. That's, I would say, I've even experienced regionally in Illinois within the last week, two different opportunities where I ate out. And one of them, you would not have known that nobody cared. Nobody was wearing a mask. Mm. Nobody cared. And it was, I mean, like there was a buffet. So there was not a COVID fear at all, and people had no problem with it. In fact, those people were absolutely embracing it. And then there's other places where there's, you know, tables that have stickers on them that say, you know, table closed, and there's a QR code for the menu and so on and so forth. But outside of that, it's basically slow kitchen, low staff, so it's a low wait. But I don't know. I don't. What about you, Katie, in Missouri? Are people hesitant in Missouri? I mean, I've had reports from people say, specifically, if you start in the city and then you expand to the county and then you get to like 5th Street, it starts to taper off a little bit. And then as soon as you get to St. Charles, it's like nothing happened.
I had two friends come into town. One is from Mexico, grew up in Mexico City. And
like the country.
Yeah, like the country. And then my other friend, she lives in Philly, and they're together. They both live in Philadelphia right now. But she came into town. And she said kind of the same story as you were talking about with your experience coming to visit me, Annie, with Jensen. She was like, she's a nurse too, fully vaccinated. Yeah. She was like, Katie, I got to tell you something. Missouri, the state, you guys don't care. I came in, we drove in, nobody cares. Everybody's living their own life. It's a totally different vibe up in Philly. And then she was like, but then I got to your area. And your area is like We went to gas stations. Nobody was wearing a mask. She was like, I couldn't believe it because that is not what it's like where I live right now. So it's definitely regionally what's going on. There's different measures being taken place and a lot of people with lax caution and a lot of people with super duper caution. So right now where I live, it's been wild for me to experience, but I feel a lot better about not wearing a mask because people are, you know, getting vaccinated or choosing what they want to do, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask. But right now I feel totally fine. I feel good about going into restaurants. I feel good about going into gas stations. I think something, and we all know what I'm going to say next, I think the thing that I miss the most is concerts. I'm eager to see what that transition's like whenever I go to the pageant or when I go to a big arena. I already have some tickets for the Fox that are going to happen in the fall, tickets for other theaters around St. Louis.
What are you going to see at the Fox?
Bill Burr. Bill Burr's coming to the Fox, so I'm going to see him. I'm just anxious to see how all of that goes down because I haven't visited any of those places in so long. So I want to see what that kind of reaction is and how the seating is arranged. What are they going to be strict? Are they not going to be strict? That kind of process.
Well, we're going to talk more about that with Tony and Gabe, who are going to be coming in here in just a minute. I put this question up on the Facebook Live and the YouTube Live when I posted it. How has yesterday's CDC's announcement affected what you're going to do? I have a feeling the majority of you, it doesn't affect it at all. You're going to keep on keeping on, and masks may not be a huge part of that equation to begin with. But I'm curious, did it even if you haven't been wearing a mask, or even if you have tried to, you know, like the callers we had yesterday, you kind of courtesy mask wear, where if you go into a business and someone says, please wear a mask, you put it on, but you have to be asked, you know, by a sign on the door or something in order to participate. How's that changed you? We'll discuss that with Tony and with Gabe in just a minute. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. Hope you're enjoying this afternoon so far. Weekend upon us, and we have made it this far. So looking forward to taking you into the rest of your work day to get you out of here with a smile on your face. Gabe Pfeiffer is in studio with us.
Hey, yeah, I'm a freaking genius.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist.
Brilliant!
Knowledge is power.
So, Gabe, I had to go back and watch the conversation that we had last week while you were in here. When we had that caller call in, I watched it, and I just had to say, you were on fire. It was fun to watch it in the moment, but while you were answering these questions and talking about race and, you know, really responding to the idea of your individual autonomy and how most of these political conversations around anybody's race, let alone your race or my race for that matter, strip people of their autonomy. It's something that causes you to automatically assume things about people based on what you see with your eyeballs for the first time. And I went back and watched it, and I was just thoroughly entertained, like almost cheering for you from I was watching it in bed on YouTube, and I want people to go back and listen to that podcast from last Friday if you missed it, because, Gabe, I just think, you know, I also wondered, a lot of people will go back and be like, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that. Did you think about that conversation after the show yesterday and ruminate?
I not only thought about it, but I made a video about it. I posted it this morning. So
perfect.
So yeah, I elaborated. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much I said what I thought needed to be said in the moment. I'm very, very glad that you were able to go back and look at it and get that from the day, because that to me means that I actually did what I set out to do, which is, that's good stuff.
Go ahead. So sum up to me, just in the wake of revisiting it, and we're going to post your video, and you can subscribe to Gabe's YouTube channel, St. John the Philosopher, on YouTube, and great content there. Sum up for me, just in a couple minutes here, your takeaway from that, especially having gone back and thought about it and putting some content together after the fact. Like, what's the takeaway from that experience?
Well, it's to me, it really has to do with the type of liberal that you encounter. You know, because these two people, between the caller as well as our illustrious tweeter, who had a lot to say about it as well, we got two different sorts of reactions to conservatism in general and me being a black conservative specifically. And you have to approach those things differently because from my perspective, Diana, I think, is the good type of liberal.
Diana was the caller who called
in. Diana was the caller,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. And she, I think she has a good heart. I think she really wanted to, she believed that she was, you know, approaching this from a correct perspective, but correcting her shouldn't have been, you know, a dunking opportunity. It shouldn't be a thing where you're trying to own the libs every single time. Because I feel like that conversation ended very well. I think she understood where I was coming from, and maybe, you know, I gave her some fodder to rethink some of her previous assumptions, some of the things that she believed coming in as hot as she was, you know. And that's the type of fruitful conversations you can have with some people with whom you disagree. Now the guy who was tweeting, that's a different story. You know, they come at you all fire and brimstone.
Huge difference than somebody calling in a show to say, I think you are really off on this, and someone tweeting something heinous at you in passing.
Yes, exactly. And I think we need to be a little more bold, and I think Brad was taking him to task as well. Thanks, Brad. That we need to call out racism when we see it.
Yeah.
Even when it's in somebody who's claiming to be acting on behalf of minorities, you know, because they've basically stolen, the left has stolen the definition for a lot of words and repurposed them, and they operate under a completely different set of rules in regards to those terms, and we need to call them out on that, because the racial essentialism that you see in there is racism, even if they're using it to supposedly defend the black community or whatever community. The language of bigotry is the language of bigotry, and we need to say it.
Yeah, I think it's such a well said point. You can check that video out on St. John the Philosopher YouTube channel. Go check it out. Subscribe to his channel there. Speaking of fruitful conversations, hi, Tony Colombo. He's in studio.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I am doing good. I think what a great point that was just illustrated there about people's behavior in person, when you're actually speaking to a person, either face to face or on the phone, or how much more emboldened you are.
What percentage of Twitter conversations would actually happen in person? What percentage?
If you don't, the conversations where people don't actually know each other, don't know the person that they're tweeting to or about personally.
Yeah, how many of those?
10% of would be.
That'd be high.
Yeah, yeah. You're. I agree. Maybe
it might be a lot of black eyes.
Might be 0%. Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, people. This is, and I'm serious about this. You need to remember that. I know you're trying to be cool, and you're trying to get attention and show how tough you are and how smart you are and how courageous and you know, in
speaking
in,
truth to power,
you know, yeah. Justice, you know, like you're fighting for justice, so you're going to use names.
I think they're just being a-holes.
Well, yeah, exactly. But there's that's a human, you know, you're tweeting humans. It's so funny because I, you know, I've met listeners who have argued an issue with me or taken umbrage with something I said on the radio about a particular issue and have said horrible things about me and my family and, you know, what I'm and, you know, making assumptions about what I believe and what I think and what I, you know, would do to people if I had, you know, and then you meet them and it's like, oh, Tony, I listen to you all the time. I love your show. And it's like, I'm the guy, I'm so-and-so on Twitter. It's like, oh yeah,
doesn't
do you know right all there the things that you've said? And
six
it's
feet
like,
of distance.
Yeah, but it shows you the big, like they don't even, it doesn't connect. They think that they're a lot of people, I think, I mean, a lot of people know exactly what they're doing, and they're trying to hurt people, and they're trying to, but I think there's also a lot of people that just think that they're, like, just, you know, yelling into the void, and they're posting tweets for the world to see, even though they're directed at a person. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it that way. They don't look at it being directed at a person. They look at it like, here's something I'm sending out so everybody can see how cool I am and how great I am, and they don't ever think about,
there's no reality.
There's
to
a person. There's no, yeah. Yeah. There's no humanity to it.
Yeah,
there's,
for sure.
There's no, you know, and they just don't realize that, you know, that's, you're talking to another person there, and when it's a political debate, when you're debating an issue, you know, if somebody's clearly, you know, a bad person and has committed some heinous crime or something like that, and you want to just tee off on them, go to town. But when you take
okay,
political issues, when you take political issues and, you know, arguments about, you know, and debates about relevant issues that affect this country, and you take them personal, and you start to name call and degrade people. That is just it's not cool. You don't look cool.
Low.
It's not productive, and you're not going to sway anybody's opinion when you behave like that.
Katie, you've locked your Twitter down because Katie dared criticize Jim Acosta, which is my favorite thing ever. But Katie said that Jim Acosta wasn't as handsome as Jim Acosta thinks that Jim Acosta is. She got what she deserved on Twitter for that.
I got my butt handed to me.
And she locked up her Twitter account and put herself in a timeout. And she's back now. You can go at KFitz971 and follow her there until she tweets about Jim Acosta again.
Tell her how awesome she is.
But Katie, you've also, like, I will share with Katie some messages and tweets that I get sometimes that are just like the most grotesque, heinous things ever. I'll show them to my husband every once in a while because it's funny to see him get bent out of shape every once in a while. But some of them I don't. He gets worked up about it. It does not affect me. Like, I tell him, like, these are not, to me, real people. I'm not real to them. And this is something they do to pass the time. But Katie, you know, like, for instance, the Jim Acosta thing was so, like, incontroversial. Like, there was nothing to it. It was just a slow-mo video, I think, of Jim Acosta removing his sunglasses or something.
Turning around. Yeah.
And Katie got lit up for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People were so mean. And, you know, I don't get a lot of messages like that because I'm not a host of a show, so I don't get many messages.
And you're way nicer.
Well, and you know, I just don't get many, but this was like an overflow of people just being like, you are a right-wing conspiracy theorist, crazy person. Mm-hmm. What are you even doing on Twitter? I'm like...
And they know nothing about you. They know nothing about you. They don't know you at all.
They went to my profile. They were like, you worked for this crazy show. And look at this crazy station.
Hey.
I'm like, now we're going to my profile and we're doing a deep dive of like my tweets or just like the sentence that I wrote in my about me on my Twitter page. Like, what? Who are you people? It's just too much. It's too much.
Does it ever get better? Does anything, I mean, are we just in the final descent into the abyss of lack of humanity?
Feels you remember flame boards were a thing back in the day before social media was everywhere? You know, that people would go into these chat rooms.
Boards and things.
Yeah, and they would just be, you know, you'd go into the certain ones that were just full of hate. So I think those people are always going to look for an outlet to do that. And so, no, that's not going to go away. But if we can all learn to... you know, compartmentalize those people and, you know, identify them as the trolls that they are and, you know, take away their power, then it would slow them down.
When social media exists, though, that is their power. And the power is only
when you react to it.
Yeah, that's true.
When you allow their messages to affect you or to go viral and blow up and get a bunch of reaction, if nobody's reacting to it, even though they're on the platform, they're not getting what they want.
I think Andy said it right. Where you don't, you know, they've obviously dehumanized you. They don't think of you as a real person. So kind of give that back to them. This isn't a real person. This is a persona that you've put on top of your actual sad self, and you're just trying to make other people as miserable as you through the internet. Mm. And then
I've
it becomes
muted so many people.
Then it becomes sad. You know, it's like, oh wow, you poor. Now occasionally I like to poke them. But that's,
when you're bored,
that's entertainment purposes.
Just think about it, how frequently bored you have to be to occasionally poke back, and this is what they sit and do all day long.
Yeah,
these people are probably collecting a lot of unemployment right now. Mm. Tickets still available tonight, Tony?
Yeah, walk on up, Diamond Music Hall. Watch Katie sing. Watch me do something.
Sing.
We go on stage. Wait. Go on stage 8 o'clock tonight, Diamond Music Hall in St. Peter's.
You can follow Tony on Twitter at TonyColombo971. You can follow. You got to get in with Katie right now while her Twitter account is unlocked. So you all have to go flood her at KFitz971 and follow her on Twitter and say nice things about Jim Acosta. That's what you need to do. Tony, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Knock 'em dead tonight.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.